This is the Capricorn FM podcast.
This grade 12 lesson is proudly brought to you by the Department of Education. Working together, we can do more providing quality education.
Good evening, listeners of Capricorn FM. This is Mr. Siburugu Joseph Samson from St. Brendan's Catholic Secondary. I'm your geography educator. Tonight, we are going to continue with our lesson based on the structure of examination question paper. Then, we'll look at the assessment in grade 12. And we'll also look at the frequent asked questions in geography. Last time, we're looking at climate and weather. But today, I would like us to focus on geomorphology. Let us start by looking at the structure of examination question paper, more especially paper 1. Paper 1 carries 150 marks, assessing both theory and map work. The duration of this question paper is 3 hours. And paper 1 comprises of 3 questions, which all are compulsory. Questions 1 and 2 are found in section A, and question 3 in section B. Remember, this is just a reminder. Section A consists of question 1 and question 2, which are based on theories of 60 marks each. Each of 2 questions will begin with variety of short objective type questions for 15 marks. The format of these questions will vary. This is followed by the 3 subsections of 15 marks each. Each of the 2 questions will include a paragraph type questions for 8 marks. That is 4 multiplied by 2. That will give us 8. Paragraph questions may not be answered in a point form. This will require insight and analytical thinking skill. The paragraph questions can be in any of these subsections. A variety of source material will be used, example, satellite images, synoptic weather map, chart, and graphs, statistic, tables, infographs, sketch maps, cartoons, photograph, case study, and newspaper articles. Candidate must be able to illustrate all geographical concepts taught. Illustrations could be simple label diagram, sketch, or detailed annotated with exemplary labels, diagrams, or sketch. Please note, in the 15-mark subsection content, test could cover more than one aspect in a broad topic. And section B, note, a 150 topographical map extract and a 1:10,000 orthophoto map will be used for testing purpose. Question 3 is based on map work, that is geographical skill and techniques, for 30 marks and will be divided as follows. Map skills and calculation, 10 marks. Map interpretation, 12 marks. GIS, then 8 marks. And note, multiple choice question can be integrated in all of the above. The following instruction and information will appear on the second page of the question paper. Learners will be advised of this instruction from the beginning, as many learners do not adhere to these instructions. When you open page 2, you'll find this instruction in this way. Question paper consists of 3 questions, and all diagrams are included in the annexure. Where possible, illustrate your answers with labeled diagrams. Leave a line between subsections answered. Start each question at the top of new page. Number your answers correctly according to the numbering system used in this question paper. Do not write in the margins of answer book. Write neatly and legibly. You may use also a magnifying glass more especially if you are checking the maps. Unit of measurement must be given in the final answer, where applicable. Example, 10 kilometers or 4 degrees Celsius or west. So, when you are treating paper 1, question 1 will be climatology, which is weather and climate. There will be short objective questions at 1.1, 8 marks. 1.2, short objective question for 7 marks. 1.3, data response question, which is 15 marks. And data response question in 1.4, 15 marks. And 1.5, data response question for 15 marks. And one paragraph questions will be in any 3 subsection, either in 1.3, 1.4, and 1.5. Same applies when we come to question 2. Question 2 will be geomorphology. Geomorphology will have 2.1, short objective question for 8 marks, 2.2 short objective questions for 7 marks, 2.3 data response question, 15 marks, data response question, 15 marks, 3.5 data response question for 15 marks. And even here in question 2, there will be one paragraph questions for 8 marks in the subsection, either 2.3, 2.4, or 2.5. Now, section B for map work, that's where we'll have question 3. Question 3 will be 30 marks. Where out of these 30 marks, map skill, like I said, map skill and calculation, 10 marks, map interpretation, 12 marks, GIS, 8 marks. Now, if you add the total, we'll give you 150. So, while we're still in paper 2, I also want to indicate the frequent asked questions. Frequent asked questions. Now, this is very important. While you are looking at geomorphology, because geomorphology will be in question 2. Geomorphology is divided into 3 main parts. That is drainage basin in South Africa, fluvial processes, catchment, and river management. And one thing that I would like you to take into consideration, more especially attempting the drainage basin in South Africa, I cannot just specifically say this one and this one and this one is the most asked frequent question. A lot of them you'll see, because here there's a lot of concept that you need to know, and I will just regard this as compulsory. When you go to the examination room, make sure that you understand these concepts. Concept number 1. Let me just simply start by indicating the following. When you deal with concepts, you should be able to define them and identify an application of drainage basin. You see, when you have got a drainage basin, you should actually know that that is an area drained by a river system. So you should be able to define it and be able to identify it. And whether it is on a mapwork or on content, you should be able to apply the application of this. And even when you look at the catchment area, you know that a catchment area and drainage basin is more or less similar, because with catchment area, it collects or supply the drainage basin with water. We also have a concept of river system. River system is the main river and its tributary. And make sure that even when you look at this, be able to define it. If you see a structure written there, will you be able to identify it? Even application. When you talk of application, here you should be able to identify the main river and tributary, where, after all, you should also know the confluence again. What is a tributary? A tributary is a small rivulet, the one which is joining the main river. And confluence, that is the point where a tributary joins the main river. So you should be able to identify it, define it, and application. Again, based on this, like I said, the main focus is the concept. Source. A river source, that is a point where river start or begin. And river mouth, that is a point where river end, or point where a river enter into the sea or lake or dam in some other cases. So you need also differentiate between surface runoff, because we are also going to talk about groundwater. And then we also have infiltration and water table. Those are concepts which are generally common when you deal with geomorphology. So you should be able to define this for us. Now, I will expect you to know the different types of rivers. Why this? Because this background, you will apply this when you treat map work, even on content. Permanent river. That is a river that flows throughout the year, right? And how can you identify it on a map? It is having a solid blue line. And we also have the second type of river, which is periodic. Definition, identification. Periodic is a river that flows during rainy season. Just to give you a practical example, here in Limpopo, we actually experience heavy rain during summer, because here we actually experience convectional rainfall, whereas in Cape Town, they actually receive rain during winter, unlike here. So, periodic river in Western Cape will be overflooded during winter, whereas periodic rivers in Central and part of Limpopo, a river overflows during summer season. And a episodic river, definition, these are the type of river that flow after heavy rain. And exotic, that is rivers that has its source from humid region, but the large part of that river flow through a dry region or a desert. So you should be able to define this. And this will help you more, especially when you look at the content, even map work. Same applies when you identify the drainage pattern. You need also to know the underlying rock structure, development, characteristics of this drainage pattern. Say, for example, dendritic pattern. If you are to define it, you'll have to indicate that this is the pattern that resembles the branches of a tree. Dendritic simply means branches of a tree. And how can you identify it? So you should look at the pattern of streams from mainstream and branches that will resemble the branches of a tree. Then you will be able to tell to say this is dendritic. And you need also to apply this information that you have learned also on the study of map work. And again, trellis pattern. You need also to identify it by looking at the way the tributary is joining the what? The mainstream. It joins it at 90 degree or right angle. So now, this trellis pattern, you need also to know also the underlying rock strata, because streams will be flowing parallel to each other on a where there is folded sedimentary rocks, but where there is a cracks, the fault along fault line, the tributary will be joining the mainstream. And this trellis and rectangular, it looks similar, but there is a different. Well, as the different rectangular tributary and mainstream will have more or less the same size. And as a result, the shape, when you look at it, it looks like rectangles. But the tributary will be joining the mainstream at right angle. That is where lies the similarity between trellis and rectangular, because the tributary joins the mainstream at a right angle. Then we also have radial. How is this radial pattern? Radial pattern, it is found on a hilly area, and streams will be radiating from the mountain top going down. Centripetal, streams will be flowing to the central point, and deranged pattern will be found where there is a waterlogged or the area that undergo flooding or glaciation. So we'll have a pool of water and an outlet. So that is why it is called irregular or deranged pattern. Then we also have parallel. With regard to parallel, streams will also be flowing parallel to each other. But the main thing that I would like you to understand, just identify the pattern, and you also look at the underlying rock structure and its development and characteristics. That is very important. So I will also advise you to look at the definition and impact of factors that influence drainage density, whether it will be a high drainage density or low drainage density. Just to give you an example of some factors, say for example, precipitation. How does precipitation influence drainage density? In other words, if we have got heavy rain will cause more runoff and less infiltration. And then soft rain or shower will influence less runoff, more infiltration. Obviously, we'll have low drainage. Where there is heavy rain, where there is less infiltration, we'll have high drainage density. So when you look at evaporation, if there is evaporation, there will be less infiltration, more evaporation. As a result, we'll have low drainage density. And then soil moisture, vegetation, so slope and gradient, porosity and permeability. All these factors play a role on whether the drainage density will be high or low. Let us take a short break. Let's continue our lesson, now focusing on fluvial processes. Now, Let me start by advising you like this. When you prepare for your final examination, just take 5 previous question papers when you do revision. 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020. Now, focusing on fluvial processes, I want to indicate the most frequent asked question. But the questions which are in front of me here, I've got 2017 up to 2020. There is a question in 2017 on river capture. Take note of the heading. 2, river rejuvenation. 2018, there is a question on river rejuvenation and cross profile of a valley along the river course. Come 2019, there is longitudinal profile and fluvial landforms on the lower course. 2020, again, there is a question based on river rejuvenation, river capture, river profile. In other words, based on fluvial process, the most frequent question is river capture, river rejuvenation, and the longitudinal profile or cross profile, where you need to look at the whole structure from the upper to the lower course of a river. So, right now, I just want to look at some questions, how questions are asked, even how you should also answer them. That is very question. In other words, the most frequent asked question is river capture, rejuvenation, and cross profile of a river. Then you can also look at the whether it is graded or ungraded. Now, in 2017, there was question 2.2. In that question, learners were, sorry, not 2.5, where in figure 2.5 shows the structure of river capture on a superimposed landscape. And one other advice that I can give, there is a possibility that in one topic, they can also take contact from another topic, but still under geomorphology. Like here, there is superimposed stream, but you'll also be answering question on river capture. The first question was, what is superimposed stream? So if you want to know what is a superimposed stream, you should actually know that that is when you have a younger river flowing on an older landscape that has been exposed through erosion of the surface layer. Second question was, what evidence suggests that River S and River Y are superimposed stream? The answer was, stream now cuts through the hard exposed ridge, because what they need here is the evidence. Then learners were also expected to label and draw. The question was 2.5.3. Draw a labeled cross section to show how the abstraction process result in river capture. In other words, when you treat stream piracy or river capture, there is a process of abstraction. I will also advise you to say, just actually know the definition of abstraction, because in this case, that is where a river will be causing a cut going upstream. So here you will be drawing a river causing a cut from S and Y, where there is this headward erosion over the watershed. Now, 2.4. In a paragraph of approximately 8 lines, how abstraction process result in river capture. So here you need to indicate the changes in the capture stream, downstream of the elbow of capture, where you need to indicate that there is a decreased channel flow of a river as its headwaters are captured, decreased velocity as wetted perimeter increase, loss in volume and velocity decrease the energy of river, more especially on the less energetic. Loss in volume, velocity decrease its erosive ability. River unable to carry its load, deposition increase. River deposition or river deposits its load on the riverbed, and small stream within a large valley. So all this process, you need to know them. About the changes that take place on the captured stream will undergo downstream at the elbow of capture. So the same year, there was a question based on rejuvenation. Where learners were asked to state one characteristic of rejuvenated river. So when you look at rejuvenated river, a rejuvenated river are re-energized. In other words, rivers that are actively eroding downward again, the carrying capacity of the river increase. So you indicate one characteristic. Again, the question was, what evidence in the sketch indicate that the river has been rejuvenated? So you look at the river, then you'll be able to see the terrace slope, new floodplain, valley within a valley. You'll also have incise and entrenched meander. Another question to say, give two possible causes of rejuvenation. Rejuvenation can be caused by river capture increase the water volume, flowing fast tributary which join the main river, sustained or prolonged increase of rainfall within the catchment area, climate change that result in the increased rainfall, tectonic shift in the landscape or uplift change in the base level of river. Again, drop in the sea level changes the base level of the river, even the sudden change in gradient. Even the clearing of vegetation increase runoff. So the following question was, suggest one negative impact of rejuvenation on the future development of infrastructure. In other words here, construction of bridge will be more expensive and need to cover the width of the valley, because as long as there will be rejuvenation, the width of the river will be big, and there need to be construction of the bridge, and that will be very expensive. Steep slopes will make it difficult to build roads and railway lines. It will also be difficult to provide service, referring to power or water supply. Again, more time consuming to develop infrastructure as a result of rejuvenation. And again, difficult to use heavy machine in the construction of infrastructure. Another question to say, given evidence to support the statement that terraces, even though they are flat, are not always suitable for farming. So if you actually know what is terracing, then that is when now you'll be able to answer your question very well. Because in this case, we'll have meanders may undercut the terrace, causing it to collapse. Terrace too high, lying to access water to the farm areas. Very steep terrace slope limit access to terraces. Narrow terrace limits cultivation. No more flooding to deposit fertile silt. And again, people will be at risk to mudslide and mud flow. But the new strategy for assessing questions in grade 12 this time, you should actually have an issue or a topic. Then the first question will be actually be asked to define that particular concept. If here we're talking about rejuvenation, you will be asked to say, define rejuvenation. Two, what are the causes of rejuvenation? Three, you will go to a question of saying, what are the impacts of rejuvenation on farming? Just to give an example. And in this case, you can be asked about negative impact or positive impact on something. Then after that, you will be expected to come with the possible strategy, possible solution to that particular problem. This is a way of assessing that I would like you to know. You need to know how to define, to mention the causes, the impact or effect, either positive or negative, on social and economic. Then after that, you come with possible strategy. Here I was indicating questions which were asked long time ago in 2017. And in 2018 also, we also have questions based on rejuvenation. Now, just to look at how questions were asked in 2018, it was in figure 2.5. And in 2.5.1, the question was to say, define the term rejuvenation. And rejuvenation, just to help you to understand this, that is the revival of erosive power. And this thing is caused by the following: heavy rain. It is caused also by, let's say, depending on whether it is inland or along the coast. If it's along the coast, when the sea level drops, that is where we'll also have rejuvenation. If it happens where there is a dam will collapse, then we'll also have rejuvenation. A river will also be re-energized. So, 2.5, identify the condition that results in rejuvenation. In other words, in this case, you need to understand the question to identify the condition that results in rejuvenation. So this can result in drop in the sea level. And 2.3, name one likely fluvial feature that can form at the nick point along the river profile. So the fluvial feature that can be formed, it can be waterfall or rapids. 2.5.4, explain the impact of river rejuvenation on grading of a river. So when we talk about grading of a river, if you have got a river having a lot of obstacles here, I'm talking about waterfall, rapids, whatsoever. So this rejuvenation can also reduce that. So, but the question here is to explain the impact of river rejuvenation on grading. So the answer is the following. Rejuvenated river will be ungraded. Obstruction along the coast as a result of renewed downward erosion. In other words, the rate of erosion will remove the obstruction along the coast. River will now show a multi-concave profile. Temporary base level of erosion will develop, for example, neck points, rapids, and waterfall. An overgraded river as a result of renewed downward erosion now will take place because vertical erosion downstream of the nick point dominates and the balance between erosion and deposition is disturbed. So out of all that I've mentioned, you'll be expected maybe to give two. There was also a question where learners were expected to write a paragraph of approximately 8 lines elaborating on the changes that will occur in the fluvial feature found in illustrated course of the river as a result of rejuvenation. In other words, you are indicating changes. So when you talk about changes, you would indicate that nick points can be formed because of old erosion level meeting the new erosion level. Nick points retreat upstream. Waterfall can form at the nick point due to the break or lowering along the course. Waterfall can turn into rapids. Meander will become more incised or entrenched. River cuts into a floodplain and a new floodplain develops. River within a valley forms because of vertical erosion. Valley with multiple terrace slope will also form. River channel become narrower. New floodplain is narrow than original floodplain and more meanders develop. After all what I've mentioned here, you can choose maybe four, because here is a paragraph questions. You need to indicate 4 points, but don't write it in a point form. You should write it in such a way that it will cover 8 lines. But the new way of assessing, then you should be able to define rejuvenation. Then after that, you know the causes. Then after that, you know the impact or the effect. Then you come with possible management strategy. That is one thing that I'll keep on emphasizing, that so that you can always remember. Then let's check now what happened in 2019, the question was based on longitudinal profile and fluvial landforms on lower course. 2020, again, there is river capture and river rejuvenation. But in addition to that, in 2020, there was graded and ungraded. Let me just pick the question paper for 2020 just to help you. And some of you, obviously, maybe you have it. You can also download the very same question paper in a Google in www.education.gov.za. Then you'll find the previous question papers. Then you'll also find the memorandum for that. So last year, based on rejuvenation, just to give you questions, it was like 1.6.1. What is rejuvenation? I've already explained that. Which stage or course of river is illustrated in 1.6? So you should be able to define and to identify the stage. Here, you were supposed to know the stage. Obviously, the stage was at the lower course or old age. Why is there an increase in the rate of erosion in the river after erosion? Just imagine, why is there an increase in the rate of erosion in the river after rejuvenation? Remember, if you understand the concept, when we have got rejuvenation, we'll have revival of erosive power, right? Where rate of erosion will be very high. But now the question is, why there is an increase in the rate of erosion? Obviously, if there is more revival of erosive power, there will be more erosion. And the gradient is steeper. Obviously, we'll have river flowing downslope, then we'll have high rate of erosion. We'll also have turbulent flow. Turbulent flow flows faster, and river will be more energetic. That takes place after rejuvenation. There is also an increase in the volume of water. This results in the high velocity after rejuvenation. Let us take a short break. Like I told you to say, geography is divided, in geomorphology is divided in three parts. There is the first part of drainage basin. Second one is of fluvial process. The third one is for catchment and river management. And when we focus on river and catchment management, there are six main topics. The first one is definition of river management. Two, causes of poor river management. Three, importance of managing river drainage basin and catchment areas. Four, impact of people on drainage basin and catchment areas. Here we're focusing on river pollution, referring to eutrophication, overgrazing, deforestation, human settlement. All these have got an influence on catchment and river management. Strategies to manage drainage basin and catchment area. You can also be given a case study of one catchment management strategy in South Africa. So, in 2018, out of this topic that I've mentioned there, there was a question based on the impact of deforestation on river management. 2019, question was based on water wastage. That is the waste material dumped into the river from settlement, from agricultural land, from industry. This one was too general. So, in other words, when we would deal with this catchment and river management, the focus is on human activities along the river. And this will affect water quality. Because from settlement, people can dump waste into the river. Sewage can also run from the settlement to the river. There is also littering of papers. From agriculture, there is chemicals from agricultural land that can also run into the river after atmospheric precipitation or by leaking when the canals are flowing into the river. There is also a possibility that sewage system from industries can also run into the rivers. Again, mining activity taking place next to the river. Chemicals from there, from those deposits, can also run into the river. That will affect the quality of water. So, when you go to the examination room, make sure that you know the impact of people on drainage basin or catchment area, more especially focusing on river pollution. It can be river pollution polluted by things from agricultural land or farms, from mining, from settlement, from industries. That you should also take into consideration, because any pollutants will cause a problem on water quality. Overgrazing, deforestation also affect water quality, because if the area have got poor soil cover, when it rains, there will be high rate of soil erosion, and the water quality, the color of water will also change because a lot of soil will be dumped into the river. So all those kind of reasoning you should also take into consideration. Thereafter, you should also come with the strategy to manage the drainage basin and catchment areas. So here, just also expect some case studies in one of the management strategies in South Africa. And with regard to this topic, I expect learners to score more marks. Let me just give you an example of a question paper of 2018. The question was on figure 2.6, where extract is based on the impact of deforestation on river management. Just imagine here, 2018 is deforestation. How can deforestation affect water quality? how can the impact of deforestation affect river management? That is the question that you should ask yourself before you can attempt questions that are asked. First question, that was, what is deforestation? I hope you have got an answer. Two, that was 2.6.2. By which year it is expected that almost all tropical forests will be lost? That is from case study. The size of which province can be compared to the total area of the forest lost annually? This is the information from case study. So in other words, you read the case study, then you answer this. I have got the memorandum here in front of me, but I want you to understand the following. 2.6.3, name two negative consequences of deforestation on river system. What are the negative consequences of deforestation on the river system? Again, suggest two measures that can be put in place by government and non-government organization to manage river system at risk due to deforestation. Now, to simplify this thing for you, my dear grade 12 learners, just always bear in mind, where there is any problem or issue, it can be either water pollution or river pollution, deforestation, overgrazing, all like this deforestation as a result will also have high rate of soil erosion. You should start by knowing how to define that issue. In this case, the recent way of asking questions, you should start by defining what is deforestation. Two, what are the causes of deforestation? Three, what are the impacts? It can be either on social and economic and environment, or else effects which are positive or negative. Then after that, you should look at the possible solution or the management strategy. That is the way to go for now, so that you can understand all this. You can answer any question. If you put that, whether it's deforestation or pollution, even if it's pollution, define pollution. Causes of river pollution. What are the negative impacts or positive impacts? What are the effects on social, economic, and environment, and then after that you come to look at possible solution. But in 2018 there was a question again raised to say, name two negative consequences of deforestation on river system. Another question, 2.6.4, suggest two measures that can be put in place by government. But right now we talk about management strategy, possible solution. And 2.65, learners were expected to know, discuss the negative impact of poor river management practices on South Africa's future water supply. So can you see how simple these questions was? And then just to answer that one of by which year, according to the case study, it is by 2050. And when we look at the size of which province, we were referring to KwaZulu-Natal, and then name two negative strategies, name two negative consequences of deforestation on a river system. It will decrease carrying capacity, river blockage, river dams become shallow, increase the stream load, disrupt ecosystem of the river, disrupt biodiversity of the river, decrease flooding of river system, less infiltration. All these kind of things you should also take into consideration. So, in our next lesson, tomorrow, I'll be focusing on examination structure for paper 2. Again, assessment strategy for grade 12 geography 2020. 1. Thank you and have a blessed night. God bless.
This grade 12 lesson was proudly brought to you by the Department of Education. Working together, we can do more providing quality education.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.